So about a week ago, my fiance Philip asked me if I felt relaxed. I was coming off 2 weeks of vacation time, during which I had the chance to sleep in several times, as well as having plenty of time to get rest and to play. And Philip wanted to know if it was a successful vacation, if I felt relaxed and not knotted up with the stress and the tension that the last several months has brought. My answer was sort of. I explained that while I had a break from the pressure of not having to make a decision about whether to begin worshiping in person or not, I had a break from the daily grind of having to sit at my computer for hours on end and the worry of any number of things related to my job. I had been reading and seeing the number of COVID cases starting to creep up and then starting to anticipate what will come next. Additionally, every day on social media and other public venues, I witnessed the increasing divide in our country, a divide that is increasingly incited by rhetoric that is nasty at best and downright vile at worst, a divide that is exacerbating rather our inability to defeat a virus that has great potential to kill, an enemy that has already killed more than 100,000 people just here in the US alone. And then there are the various other things that have caused 2020 to be less believable than an Onion article. I spent a good chunk of my vacation hyper-focused on my cynical perception that we may not make it out of this pandemic by next year and wondering about the future of our country. And that was stressing me out. Truth be told, I felt a little like Job standing before God calling for an accounting of why this is happening. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here's my signature. Let the Almighty answer me. Oh, that I had an indictment written by my adversary. What have I done to deserve this? That's what Job wants to know. By the time that we get to today's text, Job's been through a lot. It all begins because Job's a faithful guy. He keeps all of God's commandments and he never curses God, which is precisely what gets him in trouble. He suddenly finds himself at the center of a bet between God and Satan, the Satan, the accuser, a bet in which God wages that no matter what evil befalls him, Job will remain faithful. Soon, Job finds his whole life crumbling around him. In a series of four rapid events, he loses all of his property. He also loses his children. Everything is either consumed in some sort of natural disaster or carried off by others. As if that weren't bad enough, Job soon suffers from huge sores on his feet and his head. Job loses everything, his property, his family, and his health, but still will not curse God. By all accounts, this is a man who deserved none of the pain he suffered. Uncomfortable with the fact that there was not a logical explanation for Job's suffering, his friends draw the only logical conclusion that they can. Job must have done something to deserve this, which isn't too far off from where I wound up a week ago. Faced with the continued dumpster fire that is 2020, I wanted to know why this year has been so terrible. And I doubt that I'm alone. Often, when faced with suffering, whether it's a pandemic, a marriage that ends in a nasty divorce, a death of a loved one, or our own physical pain, we search for answers. And I think some of us, I suspect, think that we have done something to deserve this. But Job challenges our very assumption that we get what we pay for, particularly when it comes to matters of faith. Believing that we get what we earn is built around the capitalist system, which means that it's easy to reduce our faith to a system of transactions. I'm good, I obey the commandments, I'm faithful, and I should be rewarded. I should have an easier life. I'm bad, I disobey the commandments, and I'm unfaithful, and I should be punished. My life should be hell. For some of us, this is how God works. We've managed to reduce God to these two simple statements. But the more that we come to know God, the more we recognize how little we actually know, both about God and the world, which is precisely God's answer to Job, an answer that we hear in today's text. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." Job has mounted his defense, calling for God to explain why he must suffer this way. And what Job gets in return from God is a reminder of how little he knows. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" God says. "Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far you shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped.'" God goes on past our reading for this morning, asking Job, "Have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked into the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." The more one comes to know God, the more one recognizes how little she knows, including why God acts in certain ways. There are just some things that we are not meant to understand, or that we just simply cannot understand. We were not there when God created the heavens and the earth, when God set boundaries to the waters and caused forth vegetation to spring from the earth. We weren't there to hear the words of God as they glided over the chaos, setting order as they went. We weren't there. We're human. And God is God. And when we begin to understand that, when we begin to zoom out from our very narrow perspective, we may be able to see so much more. We're able to see all that God has created, able to see that God is still creating, able to see that there is still chaos in the world, as God reminded Job, chaos in which God is putting boundaries. That it was God who shut in the sea, that is the ancient image for chaos, with doors when it burst out from the womb. A reminder that God gives room for a bit of wildness, a bit of chaos in our world. As one commentator stated, the world is not allowed to descend into chaos, but neither is it rigidly controlled by its creator. And despite only being able to know so little about God, God still comes to us as one who is known. Known through the man who walked the earth and gave up his life as the Christ, the anointed one, so that the world might live. Known through every act of love, every good work. Known through the Spirit and the gift of faith. Faith that comes even in the midst of great suffering. Faith that comes often because of great suffering. While we should, we need to, in fact, observe our suffering and our grief, God reminds us that if it is the only thing we see, we miss out on what else is present in the midst of it. If we're able to zoom out to widen our view, we can bear witness to the love that often commingles with suffering and grief. We can bear witness to the ways that people continue to care for each other and to work for justice. And we may miss that God, the one who laid the foundations of the earth and set the boundaries to the sea, is always here, even, perhaps, especially in our suffering.